Tuesday morning is time for Tuesday Book Club. Yeah, we do like to talk all about the written word here on Breakfast, and we do it with Andrew Popel, the master of the written word on 2SER, thanks to his brilliant show, Final Draft. Good morning.
Morning, Neil. Maybe the master of reading the written word.
Good point.
Reading and talking, and so, I do occasionally write the written word.
You do write the written word? Oh dear, this is going well.
Can't take a note. Look, Sydney Writers Festival, speaking of the written
word.
So exciting.
Upon us. I know.
Book Lovers Christmas.
Book Lovers Christmas. That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah. It's for Sydney-siders. Yeah. It starts on the 22nd of May. So for the next few weeks, we'll be going to be talking books and authors on the festival lineup and giving maybe a preview of some of the events. And to that end, I have brought you this week Lincoln in the Bardo. It's the first novel from prolific essayist and short story writer George Saunders. Now, look, the setup here is deceptively simple. 1862, famous dead president Abraham Lincoln, his 11-year-old son has died and is laid to rest in a Georgetown cemetery. And William Lincoln, was a favorite of his father. And Lincoln, the elder, lingers in the cemetery after his son's interment, reportedly returning to the crypt grief-stricken and embracing his son's body. Now, from these historical beginnings, Saunders delves into grief and loss and the value of life as he's balancing the loss of his son against all the death and destruction that's being wrought by the Civil War around him.
Wow.
Mm. And so a bardo is the state of being between death and whatever comes next, each to their own philosophy here. According to Tibetan Buddhism, it's the state between death and rebirth.
Okay.
And so Willie finds himself in a spectral realm populated by a motley assortment of the lingering dead. And he's confined, they're all confined to the cemetery, and they pass their days gossiping and fighting and reminiscing their past lives before they, as they put it, retired or took to their sick boxes.
Okay.
And there are all these moments where there's this sort of dramatic pause as each of them talks about it. And you can tell they're about to say their crypt, their tomb, their grave, their coffin. And then they say, sick boxes. So there's this sense that they're still having trouble dealing with what and where they actually are. And so Willie's arrival in the cemetery becomes something of a marvel. Many of the ghosts see his presence and the care and attention, particularly of his father, as a sign that they too may be reunited with their loved ones, perhaps even break free from their sick boxes and return to the world. I don't want to put too heavy a hand on this, but you can see these parallels with, you know, what Lincoln is best known for, this idea of emancipation and freedom. If this sounds strange, this whole idea of the ghosts, and this is definitely not historical fiction. Abraham Lincoln, he's clearly such a respected but also well-worn subject that, as say the 2010 novel and 2012 film of the same name, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, shows us, he invites imaginative interpretation.
Hmm.
It's no farce, however. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, as engaging as it was, a bit farcical. It's an engaging work. It touches on all the themes you'd expect from a novel about Lincoln. It has pathos and comedy in equal measure. As we're toured through the cemetery by the ghosts meeting all of the souls that linger there, we learn that they are but a small portion of those who have died. They actually believe that they're quite superior to their departed companions who have made the unacceptable gamble on what might be happening beyond. Not the case for children, though. Children typically depart this sort of the bardo, this realm, really quickly, and they discuss a group, you know, all of these children that have passed through. They left in 5 minutes, 17 minutes, very, very quickly. But Willie lingers, and it sort of becomes a race to save him because he refuses to leave in the hope that his father will return. Saunders' style is bracing, as you have to unravel the action from a chorus of ghosts competing to tell it, and it's interspersed with historical anecdotes that contextualise the action beyond the graveyard gates. It keeps the novel grounded and prevents the supernatural from getting too Beetlejuice on you.
Okay.
Read it, you will understand what I mean. It also keeps us connected to the philosophy of the ghosts' discussions without ever becoming too heavy-handed. I was new to Saunders when I came to Lincoln in the Bardo. Had it recommended to me by none other than 2SER's music director, Andrew Kuduri. So thank you very much, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
Mm. And it's got me intrigued. So as soon as I can steal a few spare minutes from reading for Final Draft, I'm definitely going to be delving further into his short fiction and essays. This is a really good book.
It sounds amazing. Now, I've got to ask, so Is it a difficult book to read? The setup sounds like it could be hard.
You have to get used to the style and the way it chops between these narratorial perspectives of the ghosts. You have to also then adjust quickly when you've got these historical perspectives. And we're talking everything from reports through to letters collected from members of sort of the household and talking about the president. But once you are used to the way the historical perspective jumps and chops between all these narrators, it creates this really beautiful, I'm going to say 3D VR,
wow,
of the world. It really does immerse you.
It sounds like such an ambitious first novel. I'm fascinated by it.
I think I have read some criticism and critique and also review that suggests that this is really an extension. I'm not as familiar with his short stories. It's an extension of his short story writing. It does still feel like just a novel-sized version. So I think this is definitely Saunders doing what he does best. I just need to explore a little bit more what that is.
Well, I think I'll join you in that. That sounds amazing.
Everyone can join us. He is coming to Sydney Writers Festival. He's going to be at the opening night. He's doing This Won't End Well, Secrets of Great Storytelling, American Carnage, and also he's going to be talking just about himself and his work. My pick would probably be American Carnage. He's going to be joined, Saunders is going to be joined by the editor-in-chief of Slate, Julie Turner, data editor of The Guardian, Mona Chalabi, and Pulitzer Prize-winning author Colson Whitehead. They're going to be discussing the progress of the so-called law and order in the new Trump America, and don't you just want to know?
I want to know everything about that immediately.
And particularly these people, these writers' perspectives on that.
Oh my God, that's actually what art is supposed to do. I'm so excited about that. That is amazing. Okay, but while we're talking book club, what are we going to be reading for next week?
Okay, so next week we've got Viola De Grado. She's also coming out. She's an Italian author. She's going to be at the festival. We're going to be talking about her book, Hollow Heart. I'm just going to tease that if you, like me, have been hate-watching 13 Reasons Why...
on Netflix.
Hollow Heart is the antidote to that, you know, horrible, compelling, just train wreck of a show.
All right, Hollow Heart it is. Mm. And where can people find a little more Final Draft?
Every Saturday morning, 10 a.m., go to Final Draft. Sorry, finaldraft.com, 2SER.com.
Finaldraft.com coming soon. Andrew Pebble, thank you very much.
Always, Nick. Can't wait for next week.
I cannot wait for next week either. And get your tickets for Sydney Writers Festival. They will be selling fast.
swf.org.au.
Thank you very much.